They hung their heads in sorrow. Jesus, their Lord, had died. No reason to live tomorrow. 11 bowed down and cried. Then Mary ran down a dusty road, cried, Peter, come see where he lay. For I've seen the Master outside the tomb. He is arisen today. Yeah, Jesus came, but alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him was empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. Thomas doubted her story. In grief, you imagine this thing. Till I've seen the hands that were riven touch his side, I will never believe. Then an awesome presence filled the place when Jesus appeared in the room. Thomas declared, "In my Lord and my God, you're risen today from the tomb." Oh, Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. He's alive.
He's alive. Hallelujah. For those of you who watched the Notre Dame, burn. What a sad day. They managed to save the crown of thorns that were on Jesus' head when he got crucified. Isn't that the grace of God? No, that's a lie. They claim it was the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. Did you know that the Catholics used to sell relics to make a little money, as if they don't have enough money? They sold so many pieces of the cross over the years that they were able to fill 3 shiploads full. That's quite a cross Jesus hung on, right? Interesting how gullible people are, and that's true. That's true. They did these things. If you're a Catholic, I don't know if they still do it today. If a long weekend come along and you want to go out and live in debauchery, you simply went and bought a paid for an indulgence, which was a permit for you to go and sin as you want, as long as you paid for it in advance. That's like me going and buying a permit from the police that I can do drive over speed. That's interesting how gullible people are, and people believe that. And that's how religions are all over the world. Some a little more dramatic than others. When you grow up in a religion, you don't see the childishness of the religion you grew up in, but you see the childishness in other religions. You take the Amish people. What are their church splits over? Their church splits are over rubber tires or steel tires on their buggies. And then you go down to Bolivia, you'll have a church split amongst the Mennonites over a rubber tire on a tractor or a steel wheel on a tractor. These things have been told me by guys who grew up there. And as soon as the gospel is preached, they shut you down. It's terrible. And one of the biggest problems that the Mennonite Mexicans faced in the early 1900s was the Mennonites from Steinbach would move there and tell them about this Jesus who saved them. So what they did, those who are really traditional and really dug into religion, the ones with the, what do you call them, those coveralls? Coveralls, there's a few Christians walking around Steinbach, right? They had coveralls. They would move farther south to stay away from that evil influence. Yes, Christianity is being ridiculed all over the world by people who claim that they know God. Last week, we had an interesting message on how unapproachable God is. Moses made one mistake. He couldn't go into the promised land. How many mistakes do we make? We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible teaches us there is one mediator between man and God. It's the man Jesus. If you do not know him, God is unapproachable. Forget it. You cannot approach him in any way or form. Jesus has to stand between you and him. And once this Jesus becomes your Savior, he does not only save you from your sins, he changes your life from the inside out. Then all of a sudden, the righteousness that God has comes upon you. Can you digest that? Can we digest that? That the righteousness that we possess is the righteousness of God. Many, many people today, this weekend, will go through the formalities of going to church, having communion, thinking somehow they're making themselves right with God. But in reality, they're walking in deception. What is the deception? The deception is this Jesus made it right. Anybody else, anyone who doesn't go for it is deceived. And that covers a lot of the planet. So the question is, who are we? I want to bring this message to your attention today so that you can rejoice in your salvation, be at peace with yourself, and for those of you who are not quite sure that you belong to Christ, get to know him. Get to find out, for we're fast running out of time. The signs of the times everywhere are showing us that Jesus is about to come back for his bride. He is coming back for the restrainer that is keeping back the evil. And we are that restrainer. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, that you will bless us. Open our ears to your truth. Help us to understand. Help us to be at peace with ourselves, Lord, so that we can rejoice in your salvation. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, he had some interesting way of explaining how a Christian stands in the eyes of God. If you go through the chapter of Romans chapter 7, you will read scripture that teaches, once you're a Christian, even if you sin, it's not you that sins, but sin that dwells in you. So if you ever have a fit of anger, you rebuke that spirit, because that's not you. That is an evil spirit that is operating you. If you all of a sudden have an urge, as you're going on your little idol in your hands called an iPhone, and a pornography thing comes up, and you all of a sudden, I should look this one out. I've never seen it. That's an evil spirit whispering to you. You need to get rid of the iPhone if you can't handle the evil spirit. So God wants us to understand there's ways to do it. We have to bring down every evil imagination that is coming up to destroy us. In Philippians chapter 3 in verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Can you accept that? Can we accept that? It's not my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. He has put it upon us. He has made us righteous by the precious blood that he shed on the cross for us. So these are the scriptures that a lot of people do not go into. I remember growing up in a Hutterite colony, and we would be in Sunday school, and the German teacher, we'd have to get up. For those of you who grew up there know that hour where you had to get up and go to Sunday school. That was my favorite hour of Sunday afternoon. I don't think so. But we would go through the Psalms. We would go through the four Gospels. And I don't know if we went through the Proverbs. But when it came to Romans and Corinthians and this and all these letters there that explain the way of salvation, what did the preacher, the teacher say to us? We're going to skip that because that's too hard to understand. Man, that's the easiest thing to understand there is. You just read what it says and believe it. And there it is. And they would not allow you to see the grace of God. And for those who did see it and started talking about it, to sign the overclimbing grace, and they have no place here. They have to leave. You know what? Uberclimbing means they're the ones that believe in the one above. That was an interesting, strange way of putting it for them. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Before Christ, you had to sacrifice on a monthly basis or weekly basis, all depends how bad you were, or for sure on a yearly basis. But Christ brought an end to this law. The curse of the law that cursed us was taken out of the way and nailed to the tree. So Christ came, and that was the end of it. It's for those who believe. Are you a believer today? There's many watching by the internet who go on there just out of curiosity. They're listening to this program to see what I'm going to be telling them, and I want to explain over and over again until their eyes and ears open up, that Jesus is the only mediator between men and God. Not your religion, not your preacher on Easter, but Jesus. The curtain that was in front of the Holy of Holies was ripped down the middle, and now you don't need a preacher, you don't need a priest, you can go right in to the mercy seat and bring your problems to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I did that about 40 years ago. You know what it did? A weight lifted off me that I couldn't believe I had on there. When it was gone, I could breathe better. Even the grass was greener. The snow was whiter. The sky was bluer. Why? Because my mind had cleared up. Now listen to this in Philippians 3, chapter 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now here is where there's a lot of confusion when it comes to preachers preaching this message. I have count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that are before behind, reaching forth unto the things that are before. I press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about salvation here. He's pressing towards a mark, a prize, the high calling of God, working towards it forever. And I used to study this scripture and I said, Lord, 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 help me out. And the Lord said, just read on. The next scripture will explain it. He's pressing towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. I haven't attained it yet. That's the Apostle Paul saying. So it's a little confusing if you don't know the context of the scripture. And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be what? Perfect. Be thus minded. I want to ask you a question. Are you perfect? Can you with honesty proclaim, I am perfect in Christ Jesus? I can, because God has revealed to me the mystery of how it works. I was born again by the Spirit of God, and I was changed in a split second. All things passed away. All things become new. Anybody who has a grief with me before I became a Christian, sorry, that guy died. He does not live anymore. So, he says, all of those who are perfect, be thus minded, and if anything, I'll be otherwise minded. God reveal even this unto you. So you press towards the price, the mark of the high calling of God. Does it talk about pressing towards getting saved? No. You have saved, finished. The end from the beginning, like we used to teach here the last couple of weeks. The end is settled. Now work out your salvation with respect. This word fear and trembling means with respect to God. That is an awesome God. So he says, you press towards that mark. If you're perfect, you will do that. Because the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9 and 10. Go there. For it says, we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. One of these days, this halfway knowing, this halfway achieving will be finished. We will walk in perfect health. We will know things that we now cannot even grasp. We will understand what eternity means. The atheists will find out what billions and billions of years are. Once he goes into eternity, we will begin to understand what the love of Christ means, because the Bible teaches us now we are only part there. Those of us who are perfect understand that. That's why we can accept it when we fail in our daily walks. This yesteryear preacher, he put out a very, very interesting statement. I think it was Oswald Chambers. Is that the right guy? He said, if a person focuses too much on his own holiness, trying to achieve holiness that can only be achieved through the precious blood, if he's forever conscious of making mistakes and doing wrong, he can very well miss what God has for him, because he's too self-focused instead of God-focused. It's like being too self-conscious instead of God-conscious. When you get into a prayer meeting and the power of the Holy Ghost starts moving, I want to tell you something. You're not going to get much out of it if you stay self-conscious. But the moment you start to become God-conscious, you start understanding, and then God can start moving on you, and things start to happen. So we know in part, we prophesy in part, but the day will come when he, the perfect one, will come. Things will change. Listen to this one, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. I borrowed some scripture from last week just to review them, just so that you can understand, and it's good for the soul to review scripture. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. Once your body will be changed. Once it will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and things are going to start working perfectly, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So look at it. One of these days, your body will change. For those who have problems with sickness, you're plagued by sicknesses, for they that day can't come fast enough. For those of you who are in debt, that day can't come fast enough. And for those of you who are high in the Holy Ghost, that day for sure can't come fast enough, because you get a little taste of what's going to be there, and you can't wait for the real piece of pie. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. When this Jesus comes back, he makes us just like he is. I can imagine my body a little bit. Sometimes I do that. And I say, Lord, I don't think I can handle my imaginations. It's too good. But it's not a fairy tale. It's for keeps and it's for real. What they're trying to achieve with their artificial junk in the world system, we're gonna get for free. When will we get it? There's one thing we have to make sure, though. We have to be confident that God is going to perform that work. Philippians 1, chapter 6, listen to this one. The Apostle Paul says, I am confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and then it'll be finished. So I ask a question for those of you who listen, who are watching this by the internet. Are you confident that God has begun a good work in you? Has something changed within your heart since you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you know that this is your aim, to see this God yet? Are you sure in your heart this is why you want to exist? It's because God is real. I was listening to somebody very interesting on the internet, and he said the most dangerous thing today is once saved, always saved. And right away, my guard went up. What do you mean by that? Because that's what I'll be preaching all the time. But then she explained herself very clearly. If you have accepted Jesus once upon a time and you live for the devil, don't you know, realize and understand there's something wrong? Don't you see by the fruit that is coming from you that there is something wrong, that you're not really saved? But if you have accepted Jesus and your life has changed, you're now starting to seek the things of God, yes, then you can say that you know that you have assurance of salvation. So I figured, lady, that's a nice way of putting it. The Bible will question you. If you accepted Jesus as your Savior, it will question you. If you run after sin without a check in your spirit, without condemnation or a spirit that will be convicting you, if you go after that stuff, if you're addicted to pornography that you cannot wait till you get by yourself, there is something wrong. You need to check out whether you're truly born again, because it does not line up with what Scripture teaches us born again is. So the Apostle Paul says, he that has begun a good work. What happened? Did you have an emotional experience when you accepted Christ, and after 5 days it was gone, just like the seed that was scattered onto the rocky ground, or the seed that was scattered into the thorns, or the seed that was scattered onto the road? Is that the type of conversion you had, where the birds come, pick up the seed, and there's nothing left? Or is there something in your heart that you know changed since you have turned to this Christ? I know it changed my life. My life changed from A to Z. That was the difference. Not on the outside so drastically, but on the inside, my whole attitude towards people changed. Instead of wanting to shoot them, I wanted to tell them about Jesus. Instead of trying to get back at them, I wanted to somehow be at peace with them. Yes, God changed me. I don't take credit for that, because I know before that I planned their destruction. I know it. I did. Now, after that, I'm planning on their resurrection. Hallelujah. So are you confident that God has begun a good work in you? Well, he'll finish it. And one of these days, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die. Not all of us will die. We shall not all sleep. That's what it means. There is a generation that will be alive when Jesus comes back. And by the looks of it, when we look at the clock in Israel, when we look at the clock at what's happening everywhere, we are that generation. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This vile body will be changed. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. I cannot wait. This is my hope. In all the struggles of life, regardless how bad it is, or regardless how good it is, I know there's something better on ahead. And what is that? I am righteous in Christ Jesus, and this corruption must put off this corruptible. For this corruptible must put off incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Hallelujah. This is the trump scripture here. One of these days it'll happen. How do I know it'll happen? Because the Holy Spirit wrote this, and he does not lie. When you study these things, it seems that it's almost a fairy tale. But I got good news for you. It is true. We are going to experience it, and it can be sooner than later. So let's open our hearts to this. Do we know this God? Like, everybody is going to be celebrating Easter. They're going to go to church 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Man, that used to be such a pain in the butt. But now when I think of this Christ Jesus who got crucified for me, hallelujah, I can scream in joy almost because of the terrifying danger that he brought me out of. This song that says he brought me out of the miry clay, this is not even close to what really he brought us out of. Mostly, he saved us from ourselves. If you watch what's happening to the human being in their fallen nature, if God would allow this to continue, the human beings would exterminate themselves in a matter of centuries. It would be over because their hearts are evil. And unless they turn to Christ and become a new creation, they will all simply perish. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make yourself a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried and sinful men, torn and beaten. Christ became sin. the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. One through your selfless love, this the power of the cross. Son of God, the cross.